global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. We are sponsored by CIT. From transportation to healthcare to manufacturing, CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. Stocks are continuing their climb as traders respond to some encouraging earnings and deal news. Bank and tech companies are up more than the rest of the market in early trading. Applied Materials jumped 14% after reporting earnings that came in ahead of analyst forecasts. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Here on Bloomberg Radio, S&P 500 is up 15 now, up 0.7%. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 0.6%, up 107. And the NASDAQ is up 1.2%, up 57. The 10-year's down 3/32. The yield is 1.85%. Crude oil is now down 1.1% at $47.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% at $12.53.10 an ounce. The yen 110.49, and the euro is at 112.13. With live viewership of most TV channels in decline, the most watched networks are now trying to lure audiences back by making it easier to watch reruns. As they unveil their 2016-2017 program schedules, this week, the four major broadcast networks have called out the need to offer viewers on-demand access to current shows, a prize that is known as in-season stacking. They're competing with Netflix. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. I'm Greg Jarrett. Carolyn Corey.
Thank you, Greg Jarrett. The Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. Imagine transforming your business with SEI's global platform at SEIC.com/IMS.
You with love and affection. Now you won't look in my direction.
On the expressway to your heart. That expressway.
All right, we want to talk about kind of what goes on inside a financial firm and who knows what and what sides are talking to one another in terms of the bankers maybe talking to the research analysts. This is something we talked about yesterday. Tesla's $2 billion stock offering coming on the heels of a Goldman analyst raising their rating at Tesla from neutral to buy. Is the timing suspicious? Here with more, Matt Levine, who once worked at Goldman Sachs. He's a columnist here at Bloomberg View with Bloomberg News. Nice to have you here with Corey and myself. We did talk about this a bunch. Is the timing suspicious that here
What has reeked on Wall Street more in the last? I mean, Herb Greenberg, my friend Herb Greenberg, tweeted a company raises Goldman raises its rating on a stock and gets the underwriting deal that afternoon. What century is this?
Well, let's Matt. Is Matt the Levine? Timing weird?
Oh yeah, I mean it's embarrassing, but it's so embarrassing that if you thought it was nefarious, they would have been a little bit more careful about it, right? If you think Goldman is evil, you have to also think they're stupid to do this, 16 hours before they get mandated on the deal.
You worked inside Goldman specifically. Talk to us about the relationship. There's supposed to be, right, this Chinese wall between, I guess, what bankers are doing, what research guys are doing.
People outside of banks never believe in Chinese walls. They always think that they're very porous and people are talking to each other. And I think there's some truth to that between, banking and trading or whatever. But research is different because it's really specifically regulated because we've been through this before, and in 2003, the banks settled with the regulators and put in place these really strict provisions to make sure that basically bankers and research almost never talk to each other except in very carefully chaperoned circumstances. So, when I worked in banking at Goldman, my key card wouldn't get me onto research floors. I couldn't email research analysts directly. If I called them, I had to have a chaperone on the phone. Like, the idea that that bankers and analysts were calling each other and making like nudge nudge wink wink comments is just not really true.
There was a time when when I was at thestreet.com and we were weighing an IPO offering, analysts like Mary Meeker would come in the building with the bankers and take the meetings together and talk about what the firm had to offer.
Yeah, and that's actually there's still some allowance for analysts to talk to to companies as in the lead up to IPOs, but they're not allowed to be used as part of marketing. I think
that's
a weird
area. So what was the difference in that case, right? I mean, I've been around this stuff too, and I'm glad you got to see a lot of firewalls up, but I've seen a lot of Chinese walls that weren't up. I'm not saying Goldman's breaking the law here, but what are the rules around this? The actual laws.
Well, the there's no law. It's a settlement, right? It's an agreement between Goldman and – or between every bank, basically.
Exactly.
All the big banks have these – have separate agreements that are all basically the same. And they're agreements with the SEC and some state regulators. And the rules – there's a variety of rules, basically. The thrust of them is that research can't be used as part of marketing for investment banking business. So that means a variety of things. It means research analysts can't be paid on the basis of getting investment banking business, and investment bankers can't have a role in compensation for analysts.
But
it
analysts
means that calls have to be chaperoned, so there's always a compliance person on the
How
call.
Often, though, do you get maybe a bank that's underwriting an issuance, and at the same time you've got a research analyst who's got a sell rating on the stock?
It's very unusual, right? And part of
Because the CEO is going to look at that. Why am I going to give this business to XYZ Bank when that jerk is on television?
Yeah, and by the way,
how lousy my company is.
It's a big part of what makes bankers' jobs difficult is they go to meetings with CEOs. It absolutely happens where a banker will go to a meeting with a CEO and the CEO will say, well, your analyst said something really mean about my company. And the banker will have to explain, I have no control over that. It's illegal for me to have any control over that.
But
I can't
do anything
illegal. About it.
It's against an agreement.
Yeah, it's illegal enough.
But has anything changed?
Wait. I want to stick this point. It is not illegal.
It's not illegal. You're right.
It's an agreement that the bank made with the SEC, maybe, if that bank did. I mean, I was interviewing the CEO of a bank, a technology-focused bank out here in San Francisco, and we were talking about the Jobs Act, and the Jobs Act was going to allow for more connections between research Yep. and banking of certain size companies.
Yes.
And I got a call from one of the analysts at that bank afterwards saying, I'm so glad you asked that, because they are asking me to go to the morning meetings, to pitch the deals, to talk about the deals we could be underwriting. They're asking me to talk about underwriting clients. And the pressure's back on again. And so I'm glad Goldman, you say, has Chinese walls up, although it didn't look like it this week. But I'm dubious of this notion because I've heard from people on both sides that say that's not happening everywhere.
You're right. And the IPO business especially with the Jobs Act, for smaller companies, it's a different situation. But for companies that are already public, it's tough to honestly, you can't coordinate, which is why something this embarrassing happened.
Pat Levine, Bloomberg View columnist, appreciate your looking at this matter and your history on this deal. Great stuff. We're lucky to have it. All right, you're listening to Bloomberg Advantage. I'm Bloomberg Radio, Corey Johnson, at Corey TV on Twitter. She's at Carol Masser on Twitter. And this is Bloomberg Radio.